I am the director of youth ministry here at Temple Baptist Church. And as the youth director, I've had a pretty busy summer. We've had youth week. We've gone on a missions trip just the other day. I went to the air trampoline place with the kids, and I'm feeling it. I don't feel like such a young buck anymore. Anyways, this summer, we have been going through short books of the Bible, and the series has been called Letters from Dad, because these short books are called epistles. They're letters to the church. And the book that we've been going through the past few weeks is Titus. And I love the subtitle under Titus. It says Everyday Theology in that small print there. And theology is the study of God. It's what we know about God. And what we believe about God is the most important thing that we could believe. What we believe about God dictates how we behave in every aspect of our life. And, you know, most days we're at work. And so today we're going to look at Scripture and see how we could take His Word, how we could take His kingdom principles, how we could take the knowledge of God, and how that can transform our work life. I've never really worked in the office setting before. I've worked many different jobs. Currently, I'm in human services and help take care of people that need help. And I've done different things. I've done construction kind of jobs. I've worked in the food industry for a while. So I've been around, but I have a lot of friends who work in offices, and they tell me about it. And I imagine it to be like the TV show The Office. And I don't know if you've ever seen it, but when they tell me about their work experience in the office, I think about the TV show because that's the only office, the office workplace that I've had a lot of exposure to. And The Office is a sitcom about a mid-level paper supply company in Scranton, Pennsylvania called Dunder Mifflin. And the show mostly revolves around the incompetence and the ridiculousness of the office branch manager, Michael Scott. And it documents how the interactions of the workers are. It documents their work and their management. And we're just going to see, for those of you who don't know, who've never seen The Office, we're going to just watch a short clip, a short video here.
People say, I am the best boss.
Ooh. Ha.
Oh. They go, we've never worked in a place like this before.
You're obnoxious and rude.
And you get the best out of us.
Mike, get off of the lift, please.
I'm fine.
The most sacred thing I do is care.
We'll get somebody to clean that up.
I think that pretty much sums it up.
We're the ones that got to clean that up.
I found it at Spencer Gifts.
Meet Michael at The Office, weeknights at 7 and 7:30 on CW 11.
You've experienced that in your own life, that kind of workplace, that kind of boss. Michael Scott is a pretty hilariously terrible manager, but maybe it hits a little too close for home for you because that's what you have to go to Monday through Friday. And I asked my friends, is it like The Office? And they tell me it is exactly like that, except much more painful. So working for others, working with others can be extremely difficult. But God's word shows us a specific high quality of work ethic that Christians are supposed to possess and how the gospel motivates us to labor towards it. But before we dive into the text here, let's look to the Lord. Heavenly Father, thank you for your awesome word. Thank you for this Bible, Lord. Thank you for showing us you through your word. Thank you for giving us your spirit so that we can comprehend it, so that we can know it, Lord. Thank you that your Bible, your word, fills us, that it feeds us, it gives us what we need, Lord. And thank you that it shows us how to live our lives and how to work, oh God. Lord, so I pray you help me be a good teacher today. Lord, I pray that our hearts are softened to receive your word. And I pray, Lord, that we could glorify you in our lives. In your name only, Jesus Christ, amen. So the text that we're looking at today is Titus chapter 2. Verse 9 through 15. Once again, that's Titus chapter 2, verses 9 through 15. And if you don't have your Bible with you today, you can see it up on the overhead behind me. Bondservants are to be submissive to their own masters in everything. They are to be well-pleasing, not argumentative, not pilfering, but showing all good faith, so that in everything they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age, waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all unlawlessness, to purify for himself a people for his own possessions, for who are zealous for good works. Declare these things, exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no one disregard you. And so in the first verse we see very plainly, Paul writes, bond servants, slaves if you will, are to be submissive to their own masters in everything. We can't discard the verse as irrelevant because it addresses slaves. I'm not a slave, so it doesn't matter to me. That verse doesn't pertain. Just a little background information. Slavery was very common in ancient times. Many held dignified positions. Many had their own homes. Many had their own families. Many had a stake of claim to land and owned property. Not all slaves were treated like Kunta Kinte in the Roots, where they weren't allowed off the plantation, where they would get beaten and they were treated harshly, being whipped. Some slaves, for many slaves, that was the reality for them. But for many others, they had a job and they were respected in the community. We no longer practice slavery in America, but the principle of submission still remains true for those who work under someone. It's still relevant to us today, folks. If you work under somebody, if you have a job, if you just have somebody who's above you in authority in your life, you are still called to honor them. Christian work ethic, honor those who are in authority over us. I'll say it again. Christian work ethic honors those who are in authority over us. And our sinful nature, our human nature has an aversion towards submission to authority. We don't want to do it. We don't want to submit. People don't want to submit to government, so they break the law. Children don't want to obey their parents, so they break the rules, and they stay out past their curfew, and they don't do their chores. And oftentimes, we don't want to comply to our bosses at work. We don't want to listen to our managers. We might think that they're inept, that they're incompetent, that they don't deserve our respect. But no matter how inept and incompetent they are, we are called as Christians to yield to their authority. And you might say, Vox, if you knew my boss, if you knew my manager, you won't be saying that. Listen, I don't listen to them. I just do my job to the best I can. It's just me and God. You know, I don't have to listen to my boss. I'm doing the job that I have to do, and that's it. But that's not true. Listen, I understand you. I've had poor bosses in my life. I had bosses that were just absent all the time, were never present. I've had bosses who made obviously poor decisions that result in people getting hurt. I've had bosses who didn't pay me. I know what you're saying. But God is calling us to submit to them, no matter how poor of a boss they are. God has established every authority over us, including our work bosses, including the managers, including our work superiors. Therefore, submission to them is submission to God. Resisting our work bosses is resisting God and his will. God is sovereign. He is in charge. He places and utilizes every person in the managerial hierarchy for his ultimate glory and our ultimate good. That means God put them there on purpose, and it's for our benefit and his glory. The bad bosses in our life didn't get there by accident. They didn't get there by their own means. But know this, God purposely put them there. Submission to bad bosses in our life, it demonstrates something. It demonstrates to the people around us, our coworkers, our customers, that we trust God's sovereignty in the workplace. We might not necessarily trust our manager or administration, but we trust God. And we trust that he put that person there for a reason. And the world refuses to submit to those that they don't feel are worthy of their submission. Earthly reasoning calls us to supplant or to usurp them, to remove them from their authority. But God calls us Christians to honor them because it is honoring to Christ. When we submit to the people that are over us, we are submitting to Christ. It's a repeated biblical command. You can see it over and over again in Scripture. Colossians 3:22-24, it says, "Bondservants, obey in everything those who are your earthly masters, not by way of eye service as people pleasers, but with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord, whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ." And you can see it again reemphasized in Paul's writing. He writes to the Ephesians, "Bondservants, obey your earthly masters with fear and trembling, with a sincere heart, as you would Christ. Not by the way of eye service as people pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from heart, rendering service with a good will, as to the Lord and not to man." And these are two very similar verses in two very different letters. And it's a recurring theme here. A theme of obedience, obeying our earthly masters. And not just obeying them, but obeying them with sincerity. Where we're not just doing it, as the scripture says, as eye service or people pleasers. Where we're just working hard when the boss sees us. Where we're just working because we want to make ourselves look good in the presence of our boss. But even when he is away, we are working sincerely. We are working diligently. That we don't have this kind of mentality that when the cat's away, the mice are at play. And when the boss steps out of the office, we're not going to work anymore. We're just going to do things on our own leisure. Christ has called us to submit to work and to submit sincerely, because we're not just serving our bosses, but ultimately, we are serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We are to look past our manager's face, our boss's face, to the face of Christ. Paul then describes in Titus what this submission looks like. He writes on in verse 9, "They are to be well-pleasing, not argumentative." Paul wants our actions and our attitudes to be pleasant to the people in charge of us. We are to seek to please our bosses. Christians should be committed to completing a task well. That means we care about our work. We demonstrate that we're invested in what we do and what our bosses want from us. That we are in it. We are engaged in our work 100%. We Christians are to work with excellence, not for our own gain, not for our own security, not for wages, but rather we work to honor Jesus Christ. Biblical scholar John MacArthur, he says, speaking of work, "So you do it excellently. You might go to work and attain a certain level of excellence for your sake of your promotion, your income, the security of your job to please your boss. But listen up, folks. But what kind of work would you do if Jesus Christ were your employer? Well, he is. That's the point. Give him complete satisfaction. What kind of work would you do if the Lord Jesus Christ was your boss, was your employer? Guess what? He is. That's the point. We are working hard with diligence, with purpose, with sincerity for the sake of Christ. Christians, you're called to be compliant and respectful, not to be mouthy or defiant with a snarky remark. We aren't to look for a fight or to be a pest to our employers and our supervisors, but we are called to be respectful. We're called to honor our superiors with our language, with our speech, with our mouths. This doesn't mean we just let them walk all over us. This doesn't mean that we don't stand up and advocate for the right thing in the workplace, or that we lower our standard of integrity. But it means that we don't create unnecessary conflict with our bosses. We aren't picking fights here. We aren't going to be spiteful towards our bosses, where we're saying derogatory things to them, to their face or behind their back. It doesn't matter. Whether you're tearing down your manager to a coworker, it's not something we should do. Instead, we should vocalize and voice our concerns through the right avenues, through the right channels. We must use discernment when we raise our concerns. It goes on, verse 10, not pilfering, but showing all good faith so that in everything they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior. And if you don't know what pilfering is, it's taking what doesn't belong to you. It's stealing. And it has a connotation, the word pilfering has a connotation of habitually stealing over a long period of time, skimming off the top, if you will. And we could read pretty often in the headlines, corporate executives embezzling money, millions of dollars. Or maybe you know a story, maybe you know somebody personally, a former coworker who got caught pocketing what wasn't theirs. It is extremely common for theft to occur in the workplace. People steal money, they steal goods, they steal merchandise, and they steal time. They steal time away from the company where they're supposed to be working, they're sleeping, or they're not doing their job. And we are called as Christians to display honesty and integrity. We're called to do the right thing. We shouldn't steal from our bosses simply because it's wrong. We're not to steal from our coworker or our workplace. And at the heart of theft is a refusal to acknowledge God as provider. And so we attempt to make ourselves our own provider. We attempt to displace God's role in our life and to provide by our own means. And we say, God, I don't really trust you to be a provider. God, I don't really trust what you say when you say you love us and that you will give to us what we need. I don't really trust you. So I'm going to do it. I'm going to take matters into my own hands, and I'm going to provide for me and my own, even though it's wrong. And that's what we do when we are stealing. We are attempting to dethrone God and make ourselves God. And we don't need to steal favor at work, steal favor from our coworkers and our peers. We don't need to jockey for position, you know, competing against our coworkers, because we can trust that God will position us where we need to be at the best possible time. God's timing and his provision is far superior than our own. Even when we don't understand it, think about Joseph in Genesis, in the Bible, being placed into slavery, and then raising again to a place of prominence in Potiphar's house. Then being put into prison, obviously asking, God, why am I here? Unlawfully imprisoned, yet God will raise him up once again to be second in command over all of Egypt. So even when we don't understand, or even when we say, God, why am I here? This job is meaningless. It doesn't fulfill me. I feel like this job doesn't have a purpose. The best laid plan and the best executed plan does not compare to what God has in store for us. God has us there for a reason. Paul then contrasts the pilfering, the stealing, with showing all good faith. And John MacArthur, he says that the word faith here is better described as faithfulness, or, you know, trustworthiness, reliability, loyalty. And the showing all good faith translates quite literally to saying to give ample evidence of our loyalty and reliability. You know, we say here at church, one of the things we talk about is, if you were brought to court, would they be able to try you and prove you as guilty of being a Christian? Would there be sufficient evidence to prove you as a Christian in your workplace? Or do you go to work and they don't even know that you're a believer? As Christians in the workforce, we are to be characterized with dependability and integrity to our employers. They are to trust us, and that we are loyal to them, and we're reliable. And the Bible exhorts followers of Christ to work and serve their superiors with excellence, with compliance, honesty, and loyalty towards their employers, so that in everything they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior. Christian, when you honor your employer in the workplace, it displays the beauty of Christ. It displays the gospel. The word adorn in Scripture, it comes from the Greek word kosmeo. It's where we get the word cosmetics from. And just as we, just as makeup and jewelry, their purpose is to draw attention to beauty, the Christian work ethic draws attention to the beautiful one, Jesus Christ. And it draws attention to the gospel and the beautiful work it does of transforming the sinner to sanctified. Amen. Christian work ethic displays Christ-likeness to others. It displays Jesus Christ to the people around you. Verse 11 says, "For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all." Now, Jesus Christ, he came to serve all. He didn't serve the exclusive. He didn't serve the elite. But ultimately, he made himself available to the lowly, to the poor, to the sick. Christ displays ultimate humility by descending from heaven, where he is worshipped and adored for all of eternity, constantly. And he lays himself, he steps down from heaven to earth, laying aside his godly privileges to take on human form. He then serves man by taking the punishment of our sins and becoming death on the cross. Christ didn't tether himself to self-entitlement, and neither should the believer in the workplace. It is contrary to kingdom living, to kingdom principle, to think that you are above serving another person, that you are above helping out your coworker, helping out a customer, whatever you're doing. If you think you're above that, that is anti-biblical. Because Christ was a servant to all, and so are we. We are called to be servants. And our focus shouldn't be on self-promotion or position or salary. But rather, it should be on. We should be focusing on imitating Christ's servitude and his humility in the workplace. It's not about us. It's not about our gain. It's about benefiting and serving others. Amen. And pride puts ourselves before the body of staff. It puts ourselves before the company. Whereas humility looks to serve the body of staff. It looks to benefit the company. Christian, we're called to work above our pay grade to serve all. You might say, "I don't get paid enough for this. This isn't in my job description." In the end, it doesn't matter because we are called to be lights in the workplace and to serve. And service often gets dirty. Service is often hard. And service as often comes at a price. So we aim not only to please our bosses, but we also aim to contribute to the people around us. Verse 12 reads, "Training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions, to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives at the present age." Christ's example, we can find his example in his word. It trains us, it teaches us, it shows us to raise our standard for integrity, and it teaches us a high level of work ethic. We are to renounce ungodliness. That means we're vocal about misconduct and unethical behavior inside and outside the workplace. Christian, we are called to be whistleblowers and advocates for morality. We're supposed to stand as a barrier against sinfulness and wrongdoing and call people to repentance. Standing up for righteousness in the workplace may be costly. It might cost you your friends at work. It might even cost you your job. But it is our greater and truer job. It is our greater and truer duty to stand up for righteousness and against sinfulness, to do the right thing. The pursuit of Christ and his ways dictate our work ethic. We're called to be self-controlled, upright, and live godly lives in the present age. We're not to be impulsive. We're not to be brash and unrestrained. I confess, I've lost my temper at work before, and I suspect that some of you have as well. But we are to refrain from fits of rage. And we're not to be impulsive. We're not to be sleeping at work. We're supposed to bide our tongue. We're not drunk or under the influence. Our actions are to be upright. We are to have integrity and do the right thing, even when no one else is looking, even when the cameras are off and the manager isn't around. We're to do the right thing. Our heart is set not on the easy way, but on the right way, on uprightness. Because you know what? Ultimately, God's watching. Amen. Our behavior should be set apart from worldliness and should be indicative of our devotion to serving and honoring God. People watch us. People see our behavior. And we should have a testimony of us serving not only our bosses, but ultimately serving Christ. And it ends the verse with, in the present age, it stresses that our godliness is to be lived out here and now. Verse 13, 14 goes on, waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for himself a people for his own possession who are zealous for good works. We work hard. We work diligently, looking forward to Christ's return. We know that we work because one day we answer to God. You know, people fear answering to their boss. But this is a whole different kind of level of fear when you think about answering to God. Jesus, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the most daunting of tasks, bearing the weight of our sin on the cross. So, we too can follow his example and work with investment, work with passion. No matter how mundane or seemingly unimportant our job is, because that we know that no matter what we're doing, no matter what our job is, we are glorifying God with our servitude. So no matter the task, working unto God gives our work worth. Amen. Because we know, you know, it might seem worthless to us to do a specific task, but to God, since we're doing it to him, it gives it worth. I don't do this ultimately for my boss. I don't do this ultimately for myself and my wages. I do this for Christ and Christ alone. And it says here in Scripture, he gave himself for us to redeem us from unlawlessness and to purify for himself a people for his own possession who are zealous for good works. God is making and gathering himself a holy people. A holy people who are passionate, who are zealous to do the right thing. Christian work ethic is to be embodied by every believer. Every single one of you. If you claim to be a Christian, you should embody Christian work ethic. It doesn't matter if you're a kid who doesn't work. It doesn't matter if you're a student, if you're retired, whatever. You're called to have Christian work ethic. And Paul commands Titus to declare these things in verse 15. He emphasizes the importance of the previous instructions. Everything I said, declare them. He says, we exhort and rebuke with all authority. Paul is expecting that this instruction is to be given clearly and with certainty. Christian, you are to follow these instructions with urgency because they are important. And because they're important, you can expect to be held accountable by the church and by church leaders if you fail to follow these instructions. Not because we want our goals to make a productive and docile workforce. That's not the goal. But we are protecting our testimony of Christ because that's at stake at the workplace, our testimony of Christ. And we don't want to mar that testimony. We don't want to communicate to non-believers that that God doesn't transform us from worldly, from sinful. And we cannot expect the world to heed our message, heed the message of the gospel, if our messengers are lazy, if our messengers are unproductive, if we are disruptive. We are to act and behave in a way where it catches their attention, and we have an opportunity to share the gospel with them. Let no one disregard you. There are no exceptions to this instruction. Like I said before, whether you're a child, man or woman, you're called to serve Christ through diligent work. And Christian work ethic doesn't happen exclusively at work. Our Christian work ethic should be present in all that we do, whether that's home chores, whether that's at school, in your academic work, in your academic studies, whether that's sports, in your employment, your recreational activities, whatever it is. We're to be passionate to work well and to work with excellence and to behave in a way that honors Christ and honors the people above us. Some of you think that you don't need to honor your superiors at work. Maybe you just have a hard time submitting to authority. Maybe you believe that because your boss is unfit, they don't deserve your submission. You probably speak harshly to them and are disrespectful to them, whether it's to their face or behind their back. You neglect your work despite them. Where your boss might tell you to do something and you disagree with it, so you don't do the job well and it fails because of it. You're just trying to spite them. You're undermining their authority. You steal from company time because you don't think you're properly compensated for the work that you do. I'm going to take an extra half hour on my break because I deserve it. When you dishonor your work superiors, you dishonor God. And you mar your testimony as a believer. You are at your specific place of work for a reason. God has placed you there for a purpose. Ultimately, it's not about earning your wages, even though God provides for you through that job. It's not about finding fulfillment through your occupation, because it's Christ who is the one to fulfill you. Ultimately, it's about serving God and laboring towards your task as a Christian. And you know what that task is? It's proclaiming Christ at the workplace. This is your sphere of influence. This is your mission field. This is where evangelism is supposed to happen in your life, in your workplace. And you can share the gospel with your coworkers until your face turns blue. But it won't matter if your actions at work don't line up, if your work ethic is contrary to that. If our work ethic doesn't display the righteousness of Christ, then it proves to the unbeliever that there is nothing special about our Savior. It shows that God doesn't really transform people, which is untrue. God transforms the sinners to new creations in Christ. He transforms the disrespectful to compliant. He transforms the lazy to hardworking. He transforms the unreliable worker to become honest and loyal. That is the power of Christ that works in us. And how we treat and how we speak and speak of our employers will separate our testimony to be different. I can guarantee you that the world smears their work superior's name. They do. You hear it all the time at work, I bet. But when you refuse to do that, you make yourself set apart. You draw attention to yourself. And when you draw attention to yourself, you could draw attention to Christ. Some of you may not think that the Christian work ethic applies to you. Maybe because you don't have a job, or maybe because you're young or retired. It doesn't matter whether you're paid or unpaid, but whatever you do, do it with excellence unto the Lord. Amen. Whatever it is, whether you're even as a young child, it applies to them. I had a friend in Bible school who was probably one of the hardest workers I knew. He grew up on the farm. Farm people give you a lot of props. It's hard work. I tried it out. I don't really like it. And so he's a hard worker, and he lived in a community that was filled with Amish people in upstate New York. And even though he was a hard worker, he described to me the work ethic of the Amish people. I have to give them props. They do a good job of working. They are hard workers. And it's not just the men or the adults. It's everybody in the community. They all pitch in. My friend was telling me about how he was helping them with the barn raising. And the little girls, now this is a grown man who has muscles and is strong and works hard. But he was describing to me how little Amish girls were outworking him, were outpacing him. The Amish have taught their children, have taught that everybody in the community helps out. Everybody in the community works hard. And they might do it for a different motivation. But we, as a church, should teach our church community that everybody works hard. Everybody works hard unto Christ. Maybe because you're your own boss and you don't think you have to answer to anybody but yourself. But the truth is, Jesus Christ is Lord. He is your true employer, and it would be prideful to think that you got where you are by yourself without God. God placed you in the position you are now, and you have a purpose there. And that purpose is to declare Christ with everything, with your work, with your voice, with your actions. And some of you are at work, and you know that God has placed you there. And your motivation to work is to declare Christ in the kingdom. You know that, and you work towards it. And I know that it's not easy to work under someone. It's not easy to work with people. But be encouraged that your submission to your earthly master, your submission to your bosses and managers, is a testimony unto Christ. Actions speak louder than words. But words are also pretty effective communicators. Be ready to share about Jesus and how he transformed you. Be ready to share about your motivation, which is Christ. And you don't have to wait for somebody to ask. You don't have to wait for them to ask, why do you work so hard? Why are you so different? Be bold and share why you do what you do. Share, I work because I work unto Christ. We as a church want to mobilize our members to be ambassadors of God and for God's kingdom. Take your faith into work with you. Represent Christ to your peers, your co-workers. Honor your employer with humility, with the humility of Christ. It doesn't end with just the workplace. Wherever you are, and whatever you're doing, remember God placed you there for a purpose, and you are to draw attention to the Lord of your life with your work ethic. Let's pray.